have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hello, my name is Glenda Johnson, better known as G. Johnson. When I'm not busy, I like tuning in to Elations Radio on Saturday nights with Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., where the topic of discussion is making marriage meaningful. It appeals to the saved and the unsaved. It's for couples who are married, couples who are thinking about marriage, and for those who are divorced yet considering remarriage. Now, this discussion, Making Marriage Meaningful, is the most explicit, authentic relationship talk live here on Elations Radio. So save the date and time on your calendar. We look forward to hearing and seeing from you at 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 9 o'clock p.m. Central. So tune in to the broadcast and be blessed. Amen.
Present. Welcome to Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Well, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you, and the Lord bless you. Thank God for the opportunity. With Making Marriage Meaningful. And yes, I am your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., and I'm so elated to be with you on tonight. Last week, I was burying a friend, and I had someone to stand in for me, and I want to say thank you to Apostle Felicia Plythe for standing in for me, and thanks to those who joined in the conversation. Nevertheless, we're here tonight, and we're going to do some talking and some sharing with you with this series that we have been in. But let me make this disclaimer. I, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow, Jr., do not claim to be a relationship expert. I've just been through enough things concerning relationships and marriages and some good stuff and some not so good stuff. And yet I'm standing because I've learned some things from what I have been through, and I want to share those things with you. And I believe that if you make use of those things, they just may help you not to end up in a place of brokenness or divorce or disaster. You know what I'm talking about right there. Now, let me give you this other disclaimer, that this conversation right here we're about to have, I promise you, is unscripted. I mean, it is going to be real because there's nothing fake or fabricated. It's going to be raw because we don't dress it up, and it's going to be relevant. You'll be able to identify it because we have a host of panelists who share from experiences, who share from the Word of God, who are not afraid to be transparent, that we may help you to make the best of your marriage until your marriage is a meaningful one. So please, I want you to join me in welcoming tonight some of these fine guests who are part of this panel. The one who makes this show possible for me, that is the producer, the one, the only, Dr. Kimmy Robinson. Dr. Kimmy, hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. And it's good to hear you. It's a lot of feedback, though.
Yeah, I hear it. I don't know where it's coming from. But I'm glad that you're here, and hopefully you can help us to find it so we can go from there.
It's your Bluetooth. Right. Are you on your Bluetooth?
No, I'm not on my Bluetooth, no.
Oh, because you sound muffled.
I sound muffled? Oh, is that
yeah,
the way, is that the way
it's
you.
Now that's better.
No, you just missed me. Just say you missed my voice. See, that's what it was. I knew it, see, but you don't think I know about your boyfriend, but I ain't going to tell nobody because that ain't nobody business.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. I don't have one.
Listen, lies. Well, I'm going to talk about the one. I know somebody who be here who be talking about their baby daddy, and I know that she got something that she want to say tonight because she always be talking about that. Put me in, coach. I'm talking about the one, the only, Apostle Felicia Flight. Come on, woman of God, say hello to us tonight.
Don't come for me because I ain't sent for nobody. And, yes, I will talk about my baby daddy. Hey, y'all. How y'all doing?
He going to talk about her baby daddy. You still ain't told me nothing about who he is. I want to know. Is he going to marry you or he just going to be? Oh, none of my. Oh, Jesus. Let me leave that right there. I want to stay safe. I'm going to leave that alone. Hallelujah.
Just know. He exists. Just because people don't see him on Facebook, he exists. Hallelujah.
Oh, just because they don't see him on Facebook. Oh, what you say? Okay, you say he exists. Well, I mean, until we meet him, we don't know how true that is.
Well, whatever.
Because you said that ain't none of our business. Well, not I. You said it ain't none of my business. So I'm going to leave that right there. Let me see tonight. Let me see if Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. is with us. Are you with us tonight, sir? Well, I guess he didn't make it tonight, so we say God be the glory. Amen. I'm going to check. Is Apostle Vincent L. with us tonight? Nope. All right. Well, we say to God be the glory. Let me see. Let me see. Brother Chuck, you here tonight?
In living color.
Ha-ha. That's what I'm talking about. The Lord bless you. Pray that all is well.
It is.
Amen. Let me see. Is Reverend Billy Gabriel here tonight?
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Good evening.
Well, God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank God for you. Thank God for you. So glad to have you here tonight. All right. Let me see. If I could get Dr. Kimmy to lead us in prayer tonight, I'd be grateful.
Amen. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Father God, thank you once again for another good day. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy, Father God. Thank you for just making a way out of no way, Father God. Thank you for this wonderful topic on, well, this podcast on making marriage meaningful. We understand that you are the first author and the only author of marriage. So, Father God, decrease us, put more of your precepts in your ways, and we will continue on giving you honor and praise. And we make these praises in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for that prayer. Let me take you quickly to 2 Samuel chapter 11. I want to read verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Raba. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening too that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" The word of God for the people of God. And we're going to continue to go into these scriptures. But we've been dealing with a subject entitled Help, I'm Toxic. Wanted to look at ignoring the signs. What we're doing is we're pointing out certain things that David did that coincides with what people do concerning their marriage that brings harm, if you will, to the marriage. Now, you must understand that when we talk concerning this, we've been looking at a person who is toxic. And when we talk about toxic, we're talking about behavior that adds negativity and upsetting to your life. So I need you to think about what behavioral patterns have been negative and upsetting to your life and to your marriage and to your relationships and to your well-being. Because these are some things that we have noticed concerning David. One of the things we notice is his negligence, the things that he omitted, the failure to take proper care in doing something. In other words, there was no accountability in him, no responsibility when he's supposed to be the king, the one who's supposed to be the head, the one who's supposed to take responsibility, the one who's supposed to be accountable if no one else is concerning his duties. And that is something that happens between both men and women. They don't take, so they're not accountable. They do what they want to do, and it is called negligence. Also, we looked at something called achievement. That is the things that you accomplish. David had accomplished becoming king. By God's choice, he had accomplished becoming king. Now that he's king, all of a sudden, he's got a position where he don't have to do what he's supposed to do. These are the things that happen. You know, you do all this stuff you need to do to get this woman, to get this man. Then when you say, I do, you do nothing. You don't show the same kind of interest. You don't show the same kind of vibe. You don't have the same kind of flow. You know, you're different. Before, you used to get together and go out to dinner. You used to go to movies. You used to touch on each other and feel on each other. Now you got married. We ain't got no money to do it. Now, I'm tired. I got a headache. Well, this ain't a good time right now. You know, things that change because you done achieved something. Then we talked about restlessness. When we talk about restlessness, we're talking about the inability to rest or relax as a result of anxiety or boredom. So some people are anxious. Some people are bored in their marriage. Those who are anxious, they do something that they need not do. And those who are bored do nothing that they should do. And these cause issues because of restlessness. I got to do something, but what I need to do, I'm not doing, even though I know I need to do it. And then when I last was here, we talked about lust, how David, he saw this woman. I mean, let's be truthful. Let's be truthful. Everybody sees somebody that they can't have, but they do want. I mean, let's just be truthful, you know, and I'm not talking to anyone who's listening to me tonight, but I am talking in general from the aspect that the average woman is crazy about Idris Elba or Denzel Washington. The average man is probably crazy about Nicki Minaj or Beyonce or, you know, or Vivica Fox or something like that, because what they see, all that body, and it's like, oh Lord, if I could see that, if I could have a night with that, and so on. That's that lust that comes in. Better yet, somebody has a nice vehicle, now you lust after their vehicle. Someone has a nice house, now you lust after that. You can also call it envy, you could call it coveting, but the point is, this is something that happened because of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Tonight, here's what I want to do. I want to go a little bit different. I want to go a little further. So let's watch this now. The Bible says that it came to pass in the evening time that David arose from off his bed. He was restless and walked upon the king's house, roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. Watch this. He saw her. I mean, come on. You see somebody who washing themselves, let's tell the truth. That means she got on that birthday suit. He got on that birthday, what you want to. You want to grab a peach? Be like, ooh, you please drop the soap, because what you want to see them do, bend over. Let's tell the truth. Let's see them bend. See what they working with. Oh, okay. Let me move on. And said, he saw her washing herself and said, the Bible says she was very beautiful to look upon. Everybody wants to see something that's beautiful. Everybody wants to see something that's handsome. Everybody wants something that's cute. Everybody wants to see something that makes you say, just like that Campbell's soup, good. That's what they want to see. But here where I want to go is in verse number 3. It said, and David sent and inquired after the woman. In other words, here's another issue that happens in a lot of marriages and relationships. That is being nosy. I know that this is going to get some attention tonight. Being nosy. Nosy is showing too much curiosity about other people's affairs. It's about prying into something. And this is something that David did. He was showing too much interest in something that he saw. He was showing too much interest. So to the point he began prying. Lord Jesus, I know that a lot of people don't believe in it, but it is something that people do currently today. Man, he's so concerned about the woman who works in the next office from in the office building. Who is that woman? I ain't never seen her before. I need to know who she is. What's her name? Is she single? Is she married? Is it serious? What's, ooh, because when she walked by, ooh, I didn't see, she smelled good. Ooh, what kind of fragrance is that? Oh, dude, ooh, she got that nice hair. Is that her hair? Is that weave, or is that a wig, or what? Ooh, Lord. Then they look at the women looking at that man. Oh, he got the nice shoes. So you know if he got the nice shoes, you know he balling. Ooh, and I can see, ooh, he got a package. Ooh, yeah. Ooh, this, ooh, that. That's being nosy, especially when you start inquiring about folk. You want to know their business. Where do they work at? Who do they work for? How much money they make? Why do you need to know? And it ain't your mate. It is not your spouse. Nosiness in a marriage can lead to a lot of issues. Is there anybody who agree or disagree?
Can you ask that question, that last part of that question, one more time?
Nosiness can create a serious issue in marriage and relationships. Do you agree or disagree?
I disagree to a certain extent. Why?
Yes.
Because when you're married, you become one. Like, what other secrets should you keep from your spouse? I would consider being nosy is you're prying into stuff, and you know you're the other person is sneaking around, and you know now you got to sneak to see what they're doing. You know that's considered a little bit of nosy to me.
So you don't think that, let's say your baby daddy, because you're always talking about your baby daddy. So let's say your baby daddy is always prying into some other woman's affair. There's nothing wrong with that to you?
He's always in what now?
I need you to pay me attention. I need you to listen to me. I need you to focus. My question is, if your baby daddy is focusing in on other females, prying into their business, you don't see something wrong with that?
Yeah, I do.
So then, nosiness doesn't cause a problem in marriage and relationship?
That's not the question.
That's the question.
Yes, nosiness can cause issues in the marriage, yes.
Oh, because you told me just a minute ago you don't think so.
That's not the question that you asked, though, sir.
That is. That is the question that I asked. If we rewind it and you go back and listen, you will hear that I asked the very same question.
Well,
nosiness, understanding what it is.
Okay. I don't have no reason to be nosy.
Well, thank God you don't. But there are people who are. And it's causing problems in their marriage. Being nosy. Being the nosy neighbor. Being nosy and snooping around other people's business. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong, Apostle, but I was taught that you have 6 months to mind your business and 6 months to mind nobody else's. Amen?
Okay. This is Brother Otis Gabriel. I would like to respond to that question.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gabriel, you back, man?
Yes, this is Brother Otis.
Welcome back.
All right. And I would like to respond to your question about nosiness and how it may interfere with your relationship. And you gave the example of David. Now, David had something that most people do not have. However, there is a fair percentage of our population that have this particular trait, and that is called power. Now, when David looked over and saw this woman, he had the power to summon her. Now, that way, he didn't even try to resist being nosy. Most men should and do, when they see something that beautiful, that tempting, they look at it, appreciate the visual, the light, and go on about their business. But if a person has resources and has money, popularity, and power, now those individuals know that the women are going to be more receptive to their advances. Now, when he summoned Bathsheba, she had no choice. The king sent for you. Now, when they say the king sent for you, there are people who came to let her know that we are going back to the castle with you. So she was on her way back to the castle when they came to get her. They weren't going to go back and tell the king. The lady said she didn't want to come because she would have been taken. So in that particular case, and another thing too, that we men, we have another gene which God put there for the to keep the race going, and that is called to conquer. And it's just natural. And so when you see that, his first reaction, first strong desire is to be with her. Now, when he saw it, he didn't have to try to yield not to that temptation. So he exercised that particular power. And it led to some unpleasant, the nosiness led to some very unpleasant circumstances, which most of us have been part of. And in the end, said, was it really worth that much? And the answer is a defining no, it was not. But at the particular time, we just gave in to some temptation. And so my response to your question would be, yes, nosiness can cause you some problems that can go beyond what you have ever expected.
Amen. First of all, we say welcome back. It's good to hear your voice. Amen. And thank God that you are well. In Jesus' name, blessings to you and to your wife. Amen. But this is a reality. Nosiness can cause a whole lot of issues. You know, let's be truthful. Curiosity is not always a good thing. You know, because I learned a long time ago that what curiosity killed the cat. It caused a whole lot of problems, and that becomes a reality. Amen. Amen. I want to ask everyone if they would mute their phones until it's your turn to talk, because we want to make sure we take care of feedback, whatever
Amen.
It is.
Amen.
This is something to really consider, you know, because while it may be minute to one, it is major to another. Nosiness. That's being in everybody's business. I mean, how can you really, this is what I want to know, how can you really focus on what's going on in your own marriage and relationship, concerned about what's going on with the Joneses? Somebody, come on, talk to me, Dr. Kim.
What's the question?
I said,
what was the question?
How can you really focus on your own marriage and relationship if you're busy being concerned about the Joneses?
That's the thing. You don't. You stay focused on your own marriage. I really believe when you stay in your lane and focus on your wife and your husband, you don't have time to focus on any other people. And so when you are focused, you can have a successful marriage. So that is what I believe. When you stay focused on what's important and don't worry about the Joneses, I mean, it's good to see everyone doing well, but you don't have to focus on that. Just continue on, you know, making your marriage fruitful, because God will bless you based on, you know, your faith in Him. And so why worry about these challenges? You don't know what they have gone through. And so when people start coveting over people's relationships, they will have a marriage that's more meaningful.
Okay.
Well, let me ask this. Come on.
I was about to say, in this regard about keeping up with the Joneses, the concentration on another person's property or whatever it may be, all too often, in my experience, we are often attracted to various displays that we often wish that we had as a couple, as an individual. Let's just say if my next door neighbor has a beautiful lawn, a couple of cars, and when the husband and the wife are outside, they show various areas of public display of affection that might be lacking on his or her side with the other couple. And all too often they might try to match it. Why can't you be like this? Why don't you be like this? And not knowing, once that other couple go inside the house, totally unaware of the chaos that they have that do not actually match their display, a public display. And then this couple, me being nosy, I'm just using it as an example, being nosy, go back into the house and my spouse and I are going to some type of discussion about how come you can't be like this? Why can't you do like that? As opposed, I call that an invisible distraction to destroy yourself, because we should be concentrated on each other and the activities in our homes, because we all too often find out we are trying to imitate a copy. Covetousness. We have desires of things that other people have and not really appreciating, seem to depreciate the things they would have and the happy home that we could have if we would just stay connected with ourselves. And that's what happened here, because we all too often gravitate. And see, like in the case of King, which my brother Otis just adequately explained, but of course David was not married, but the fact he did see something he wanted and he got asked for it and got it. But this area of distraction, what do we say about now, concentrate on things that other people have, can be detrimental. That's the word I would use if we try to compare what the other couple is doing. That's where I could sum that up.
Thank you. Here's my question, because this just came to me. Apostle Flight, I want to address this to you and to Brother Chuck. Is there a difference between being nosy with what's going on with the neighbor and being concerned about something that you know that's happening with the neighbor?
That's the difference. Being nosy means that you're looking at the people, you're looking at the curtains every time your neighbor come and go, or every time the neighbor opens the door. That's nosy. Concern is, you know, the neighbor is a sick parent, and they see their child doing a business. And they're going, the child is going in and out of the house, and That's a concern for them. So that concern, not nosy.
Brother Chuck? I think that's a brilliant explanation, and I don't think that I can add much to that other than the fact that nosy implies that you don't have a vested interest or desire to change or improve that which you have observed. You're just looking at that from a negative standpoint. The word nosy implies that you're not looking to be helpful. You're looking to develop a negative response or a negative opinion of what you have observed. So let's look at it from the case of David. He done saw her on the roof or from the roof. He sees her washing herself, and so now he wants to know more about her. Now, was he being a concerned king, or was he being a nosy maid?
I would pause on that portion when you say he wants to know more about her. When David saw Bathsheba, and with the power that David willed at that time, David had one interest in mind, and he accomplished that, is he wanted to be intimate with that beautiful figure that he had seen taking the shower. He wasn't concerned about her welfare, if she had enough to eat, or what, not any of those. And still, based on where she was living, he knew she was doing all right, and she was very beautiful. So his concern, his mission was to be intimate with her, and he accomplished his mission.
I just want to throw one thing in there that Brother Gabriel just indicated. I don't think that she was bathing or showering. I think that she was bathing, not showering, because bathing presents a different observational point than showering. So she was bathing rather than showering. There is a difference.
Well, whether she was bathing or whether she was showering, I have not come across any information that suggests the distance from the king's roof and where this woman was washing herself. Because if we be truthful, back in that time, they didn't have bathrooms like we did. So they didn't have the same kind of facilities or the showers or the bathtub. All we know is that he saw her from the roof of his palace. That's all, his house, whatever it was. All we know is he saw her. She could have been by the water. She could have been behind, around some rock. Who knows? All we know is that he saw her. And as soon as he saw her, he said, y'all go find out who she is. I want to know who she is. Now, at this point, David already had somebody. He already had a wife. We know that from previous chapters. So what it was that he needed to know about her, we don't know. But he went and inquired. I mean, let's be truthful, okay? Let's use the same scenario for married men. You have a wife at home. Even if she's out on a business trip or she's out shopping or whatever she's doing, yes, you see another woman who's washing herself. Come on here. Why do you need to know who she is?
I mean, why continue to look? Why be curious? Why not turn away and stay focused on what you got at home? Why risk messing up what's at home because of what looks good on the other side? Talk to me, somebody.
There's a difference between looking and lusting. So looking means that you're observing or appreciating the beauty. Lusting means that you're looking and desirous of enjoying what you see.
But you can't lust unless you look. For the Bible says that all that's in the world is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. So if you look, chances are you're going to lust. That's what makes the thief want to steal, because he saw something, and he knew he couldn't have it. So what he did is he lusted after it.
Exactly.
Come on here.
Well, look, with all due respect, I disagree with that analogy. I think that you can look without lusting.
Wow. But in this case, I see that he saw her, and he was beautiful to see. He saw that she was beautiful, and he saw her, and he desired her, and he got a fit for her, and she got pregnant. He was all, it's all in that same little area. He lusted after her, and they became, it's all there. He saw her, and he called, and he acted on his love. Yes, he did.
This, you know, I'm looking at this because, again, there are issues that are transpiring because you have people who are so curious based upon what they have seen concerning someone else, that they started their investigating. They wanted to know more. They wanted to know a little bit more. Let me see what I can find out. I mean, let's be truthful. To every man that ever saw a woman for the first time, what did he start doing? He started investigating. He started becoming curious. Wanted to know, okay, where is she going to be? What time is she going to be there? I wonder what she's going to wear today. Is she going to wear something like she wore yesterday? Because when I saw her, something in me just jumped. Something in me moved. Oh, come on, let's be truthful. I mean, I can be honest and say I went to a service one time some time ago. I went to a service, and I saw this woman, bless the Lord. I mean, she looked so good, she made Jesus get up off the cross. And I just wanted to know some more about her. So what I started doing, I started asking some questions. I wanted to know, do she got somebody? If not, would she be interested? And if she do got somebody, how long she had that problem? That's Jeremy. Come on, can anybody be honest enough to say that I saw her and I just needed to know a little bit more. So I had to find out. I had to get somebody to do some investigative work for me. I had to get somebody who would go and find out some stuff, whether it was a cousin or a homeboy or a homegirl.
Well, I think the problem that we're experiencing is we're going from beauty to the bed. And I don't think that just because you appreciate the beauty, that the bed should be the next objective.
Well,
that's a very good point. That's a very good point. But unfortunately, in the world we live in, to get that, to see the beauty, the bed would be the score. The bed would be the bullseye. I've known preachers to tell young preachers, you see that? Go aim for the bullseye. Go get it. Find out what you can and get it. Just as long as you got a jacket. I've heard preachers tell young preachers stuff like that. And then these young preachers wonder how come they ended up with baby mama drama. Because what they did is they saw something, went after it, and it landed them in something they shouldn't have been in. So what we're looking at is the trouble that nosiness can cause. Right now, here's the biggest thing that is happening in this generation. Nosiness is being a married man in another woman's inbox, or being a married man yet trying to get another woman's number. These are things that create issues. Same thing, you got women doing the same thing. Because what it signifies is, I'm interested in something else just in case something go wrong. Or I'm interested in something else because I'm not satisfied with what I got. So here you are prying. Here you are being curious. Here you are looking over here, thinking the grass is greener on the other side. And then in actuality, what it does is it plays itself out in a marriage. So now, all of a sudden, we've got a here testimony service. Because what? Because you've got something, because a person has something going on with the person they're connecting with and being nosy about and curious about, and they're bringing it into their own marriage when their marriage already has issues. And so what we do, what we have are people who ignore it. Oh, it's harmless. Oh, it's not going to do any damage. And then all of a sudden it does damage, and we're like, how did it happen? I thought I was being good. I thought I was doing what I was supposed to do.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
I just thought about something here. I've just read that scripture again. Now, I know it doesn't say this, but this is my imagination. It's my imagination here. The very idea, it didn't say, but who could say that Bathsheba did not know David's habit? To be said that she intentionally seduced David by being up in that room, that he would see her. It could be that maybe we don't know how she felt about being sent to so see her, maybe just may be putting this in that she probably could. Who's to say she did not really do the intention to seduce David, the king of this nation? Maybe she just perhaps in the area of talking about meaningful marriage. Maybe she was unhappy in her house, and she was taking that, watching herself on the roof, knowing that David would see her, and she said, well, oh, I got this. And it worked. That's a hypothetical. Who's to say she did not seduce him, or rather him seducing her? Just a thought.
I can definitely understand that. I can definitely understand that. But, you know, we have people right now, their marriage is struggling because of this. Their marriage right now is in trouble because he won't stop being so nosy about her. She won't stop being so nosy about him. He won't stop being nosy about her best friend. She won't stop being nosy about his cousin. There are people who want to know how to combat this.
What?
What's the agenda behind him wanting to know about her best friend or her wanting to know about the cousin? What's the agenda? That's not like a hidden motive and a hidden agenda to me. That's messy. That's very toxic.
Having been a soldier, in case such as this, her husband was a soldier. He is always away from home after fighting the war. And that's what I'm saying here. us all throughout that in the field, wherever they are, away from home, and they are missing out on the TLC, the attention. He's out that shooting at other people. And then on this particular case, I guess we can't recognize that David might have come out on the roof from time to time, because he was a king. He don't go out to the field at the battle. And that could have been an area that she might, again, on the hypothetical area again, wanted to seduce him by the fact because she's lonely because Uriah's out in the field all the time, out on the battlefield. And if you remember, and reading a little further into the chapter, even when he came home, he decided to stay with the men because David tried to trick him to make him come home. But even when he came home, David gave him a chance to go to her, and he refused. So it's still that same state, which was solidified. And I can support what I'm trying to say. Period. That's the end of my sentence.
Well, you know, again, these are things that belong to folk who are toxic. Thank God every man is not like that. Every woman is not like that. But there are people who are in marriages and relationships that are becoming extremely serious, but they're also becoming extremely detrimental because of nosiness. So what I guess what I'm getting at is if we go back again to look at scripture, the Bible makes it clear, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So I believe that when they leave and cleave, that should be the focus of one another, each other. What do I need to do to keep her in a place that she's interested in me, and what does she need to do to keep me in a place that I'm interested in her? Because if we're not focused on each other, then what we're going to do is we're going to find interest in others. And finding interest in others puts us in a place of being nosy. Do anybody agree or disagree?
I agree 100%.
I would like to react to that.
Yes,
seeing your neighbors, keeping up with the Jones, other beautiful people are having a good time. Competition is natural. Is we are all competing consciously and unconsciously. We have different motives. We have different objectives when we see another person. So for the perpetuation to maintain the human race, God has made us to strongly desire one another. Now, there are different types. For example, there was a young man that saw a woman, and we've heard stories like this, and he took one look at her, and he would say, or she looked at him, and said, this is going to be my spouse for life. For just right away, they felt that. Then there are others who take a look at that, and there was a movie came out. He saw this fine woman. He was talking with his friend. And they worked together, and he said, one of these days, I'm going to get myself some of that. So they were both tempted, but they had different motives. One had a short-term goal, and the other one had a long-term goal. And if you're looking at your friend's lawn, or your friend's accomplishments, sometimes, well, many times, that is motivating to the family. Some say, well, I'm going to treat my wife like that. And I'm going to buy my wife some flowers. See, I noticed that once a month, this clown next door shows up with flowers. And his wife is always happy. So maybe I'll go and get my wife some flowers. And so the temptation, the lust, the temptation and the lust that we experience, it can be controlled. And it can be an asset if we use that temptation, that interest to make our home better, concentrate on your own spouse and all of these wonderful things that you have planned to do to attract the attention and to appeal to a woman that doesn't belong to you but actually belong to somebody else, and you belong to somebody else. If you would take that same level of energy and extend it at home, that you would have a much better home and happier and save more money and living the type of life that you and your wife would really appreciate. So concentration on your spouse, but the temptation is going to come. It depends on how we react to it. And I think that many people have heard this axiom. What we need to do is just to stay in our own lane.
I think that is very true. People need to stay in their own lane. The best business ever is the own business. You can put as much time into your own business as you want. So if you put time into your own spouse, you won't have to worry about somebody else messing things up. If you focus on, if she would focus on her man, and her man would focus on his wife, his woman, Lord Jesus, it could do a lot of wonders. Because at the end of the day, the only way your marriage is going to work is if you work your marriage. Not concern yourself with somebody else got going on. Not worry about if they're interested in you. Not worry about if you can do something better than what they currently are experiencing, or if you can do better than what you currently have. Because here's the reality. For those people who are preparing to get married, if you are always looking at someone else, when you have somebody, you're just not ready to be married. And if you are married and you're already and you're constantly looking at someone else, you need to fix yourself. Because nosiness, and I do mean nosiness, is toxic. And no one wants to be in a toxic marriage or a toxic relationship. I say this every week for a reason. Your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Hey, this is Apostle Whitlow, and I want to thank you for joining us tonight here on Making Marriage Meaningful. I pray that something that we have talked about has been insightful and has been helpful and has been something that will help you to get into a better place and a better space in your marriage. We're not out of time. We're simply out of talk for tonight, and we will rejoin on next Saturday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, with more from Making Marriage Meaningful. And we're going to go deeper, and we're going to look at some other things, because here what we want you to do is we want you to pay attention to warning signs. We want you to pay attention to things that could be hazardous and dangerous and unhealthy for your marriage and your life that would produce unhappiness. We don't want that. We want you to have a good, productive, prosperous, lengthy marriage filled with the blessings of God and blissfulness from living life. That's what I got to say on tonight. Listen, thanks to each and every one of you who joined in tonight. We appreciate you. We'll look for you again with the help of the Lord next week should he spare life. All right? So we say in the meantime, we say go with God, and he will, and he will go with you. Until next week with Making Marriage Meaningful, we're signing out, signing off, and peace. Good night. Shalom. Dr. Kimmy, I need you to drop that track. Peace.
Of God.